are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here with the Locked On Big 12 podcast. On today's show, Stephen Simcox joins me on the Locked On Horned Frogs podcast, and we just talk things all NFL draft. We just kind of break down how this draft has been the most scrutinized and really focused on kind of the effects of that and all the conversations that have come from it, and really look at the draft from a college perspective, you know, as people cover college football and, you know, really just kind of give our takes on what we think these teams will do and some of the biggest storylines. Part two of the show will come out later today on Tuesday. Stephen and I discuss Trayvon Morrig. We discuss some spring football in the Big 12 as well, and we touch on some other draft things. So two conversations with Stephen Simcox coming your way today on the Locked On Big 12 podcast. First one right now is about the NFL draft. All right, on today's Locked On Big 12 podcast, Stephen Simcox of Locked On Horned Frogs joins me. Talk some NFL draft. And Stephen, I need to talk to you. I just need to bounce some ideas off of you, some frustrations, some things. So you and I are you know, involved obviously in covering college sports on a day-to-day basis. And I have to say, like, this has been, I've never been this like angry, but just like, I'm not happy covering this draft. Like, I haven't had, it's not been fun, I don't think. Like, there's always some fun involved in it, but the amount of like negativity around this, like, I think I'll put it this way. Kyle Shanahan's comment yesterday about like, we could be dead. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if anybody's going to be alive on Sunday. It was like, it's just a really good, I think, indicator of like, sums up this entire draft thing. You know, there's just been so much back and forth. And I think a lot of it stems from the amount, like the fact that Trevor Lawrence is number one pick. It's so sure, right? We just got to have other stuff to bicker about and get angry about and, you know, debate about. And it's really transformed into this, like, I don't know. It's just, you know, I even watched a Get Up, watching it last week, a couple weeks. And they talk about the draft like every single day. And like, they're like visibly angry with each other. They're like snippy. People are like, you know, I've never seen anybody get mad at Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter's getting mad at other people. You know, it's just, it hasn't been fun. How do you feel?
I see that. I think it's a weird year because last year the NFL draft was literally the only thing going on. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of sports people were just like, yes, anything that allows me to have an opinion about something that we don't know what's going on, I want to talk about it. And the Trevor Lawrence thing has taken some of the fun out of it. Also, you have all these quarterbacks at the top, and there's just so many lightning rods, like Justin Fields. Why is he suddenly falling so much?
Right.
We don't know a ton about Trey Lance because he hasn't played in a while. Zach Wilson is, you know, Mac Jones is like shooting up boards like crazy. And there is this, for whatever reason, like people take this stuff really, really personally. Like if you're, yes, like a Mac Jones dude, it's like, yeah, I'm all in on Mac and his intangibles. And, you know, if you don't agree with me, then you're stupid. And I think there's a lot of that going on. And maybe that does come back to, there's really no debate here. You know, a couple of years ago, we had like a fun deal with Kyler Murray. You know,
right.
Is he going to go first? That seemed like a pipe dream, and then it became reality. But we have a prodigy in Trevor Lawrence. And, yeah, I don't know what was going on with Kyle Shanahan yesterday. I guess he's tired of getting questions about this, but a very nihilistic view of the world.
Yo, it's like really depressing.
It's we like, could all be gone by Sunday.
Don't, it was like, I fear for Jimmy G's safety. It's, you know, yeah, it sounds like, you know, like not just his roster spot, his well-being. I want to start with the quarterback stuff. And so I've, you know, it's been talked to death, but I think the angle I haven't heard a whole lot of from the college perspective is this. All right. So we head into 2020, right? And it's Fields and Lawrence. We, you know, we think Lawrence is ahead, mm-hmm, somewhat comfortably, but we know, you know, there's this idea that Justin Fields' game is really well suited for the modern NFL. Right. So then obviously Trevor starts the year off and You know, the Big Ten is delayed. So we get six games with Justin Fields and two duds. He ended up putting up a lot of yards that Indiana game, but he really did struggle at times. And then the Northwestern game, the Big Ten championship, he was pretty poor. Then you have the Clemson game where he shreds, you know, I mean, like that was, you know, to kind of use a Clemson example, that was Deshaun Watson against Alabama's defense. That's kind of what it reminded me of. And so, okay, you get to this process to think, you know, I'm still kind of Fields' number two guy, but I can stomach Zach Wilson going over him. I can get it. I can stomach it. I watch both. I like both. I love Zach Wilson. I'm cool with that. Now when we're starting to go with like, okay, Mac Jones and then Trey Lance, like,
yeah,
I don't get it. And it's frustrating to watch somebody's number one character be questioned, right? Really strange, you know, the reports about what last guy in, first guy out,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's frustrating to me because I've never not once heard Mac Jones DUI brought up, and I don't care personally. I really don't. But if we're going to like, if we have these, like, you know, fraudulent rumors going, you know, well, it's semi-fraudulent reports about his work ethic, which I've taught, you know, all the people I work with at SiriusXM, I ask them, I make a point of it. Ryan Leaf, Dusty Dvorak, Barrett Salee, Tom Luganville. I ask all of them, have you heard this stuff about Justin Fields? Because, you know, and nobody says yes. I've not gotten one yes, and I trust those people. So this is where I get frustrated. It's like, and once again, I don't care about Mac Jones DUI. It happened a long time ago. But if we're going to question Justin Fields' work ethic and, like, you know, off of some BS, why aren't we bringing up Mac Jones DUI, or why aren't we bringing up simplified offense, whatever? It just feels like Justin Fields has just been like the linchpin for everything for some reason.
No, it's a good point. I'm with you. I think if you want to break down film and tell me, man, Fields, you know, he had a lot of talent at Ohio State. He rarely got past his first read, whatever you want to sort of break down about his game, that's all fair. The work ethic stuff is really weird, especially since, I mean, the Big Ten wasn't going to play last year. Mm-hmm. And Justin Fields had the most to lose by playing. Like, he could have said, yeah, that's cool. I mean, sorry, but I'm going to go train at CAA for the next 12 months and then get ready for the draft. But he was pushing, like, yeah, we want to do this. We want to get after it. He did have a great game in the playoff against Clemson. Ohio State, it's sort of similar to Alabama in that it's hard to get a read on these QBs because they are surrounded mm-hmm. by really, really good players. But you see the athleticism with Justin Fields. I mean, you see the tools. You see his ability to make something out of nothing. I don't really see that with Mac Jones. And I didn't even realize until about a week ago, I saw somebody tweet about the Mac Jones DUI, and I was like, wait, Mac Jones had a DUI? That's strange that nobody brings that up because,
right.
I mean – everything and anything comes up in this process generally, but I guess he's just been crowned as the guy that's rising. So we don't really worry about it. But yeah, the field stuff is really perplexing to me. If there's suddenly questions about his game, why is it coming up now? Why are these work ethic kings coming up now? It smells to me, you know, your typical case of there's always one guy that this process drags on for so long that everybody just starts overthinking it.
Yeah.
They start nitpicking and they talk themselves out of a pick. And I do wonder if Justin Fields, like, say New England climbs up to 10 or 11 and takes him, if he's falling, I do wonder if in like 5 years, we're talking about, man, Bill Belichick got a steal of Justin Fields. Like, he's right. Clearly the best quarterback in this draft. And I don't know why he fell. And yeah, Zach Wilson, like, great arm, can make all the throws.
Are the Jets going to be any different than they were last year? Like, Sam Darnold and Zach Wilson would probably both suck this year. Whoever plays quarterback for the Jets is probably going to suck. That team is not good. They're not.
And I mean, like, they got a few promising guys. Denzel Mims, who's a Big 12 dude, sort of came
Denzel
into
Mims, yes.
later in the season. But I mean, if he's your number one wideout, I think there's still a lot of questions around there. And it's the Jets. Like, Robert Sala is a good coach.
Right.
But that organization hasn't been able to get out of their own way in a long, long time.
Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family-run business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com today to find the best selection and prices for parts for your vehicle, car or truck, whatever it is that you drive. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for pros and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so you know what we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. You know what's interesting on the Justin Fields thing? Like, the negatives we've heard, but what are the positives of, like you mentioned, a great point with the, he was a big reason why the Big Ten got to play this year. And he didn't have to. He had a lot to lose. And he made that push for them to play. Also, he got injured in the playoff game and stayed in the game. Like, he took like a helmet to the ribs from James Skalski, who's like one of the toughest dudes in all of college football, and kept going. And he was, they weren't going to win the championship game. Alabama was too good, but he was hurt in that game. He was definitely hurt. And that, and also the fact that he has epilepsy, and he's talking about that, and he's dealing with it. And like, he's going to be, the fact he's able to handle that and still be, a top five pick should be a top five pick, is really impressive. But I have not heard people bring that stuff up about Justin Fields. It's just all these questions, and so the one part of the 49ers I understand at three is, if the 49ers believe that their offense is good enough to where they just want somebody to get the football to guys who make plays, that makes sense. Cause that is what Mac Jones was at Alabama. And he was excellent at it. He was one of the best at not making mistakes and getting the ball where it needed to go. That's what he does. And I get that. That being said, they thought Garoppolo was that guy, and he was for a short period of time. So I don't, and one other thing too, people bring up a lot, is that a lot of the decisions for Mac were made for him in a certain sense, with just his reads and whatnot. And I think that goes a lot of credit to Sark for knowing just how to use that offense and basically say, hey, we don't have to get fancy here. You know what I mean? Like, there's two options every single play, and one of those two is going to be available for you, whether it be Mechie, I forget the tight end's name. I forget the tight end's name, but obviously Mechie, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle for the beginning of the season, Najee Harris, right? One of those guys is going to be, Billingsley, I think, was a tight end. Yeah. One of those guys is going to be open. So I get that. And I trust Kyle Shanahan too with the offensive mind. I get that. I just don't, I don't know if there's a higher upside to playing Mac Jones than there is to playing Jimmy Garoppolo. I think the results are pretty similar.
Exactly. It makes sense to me, but when you were in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, you didn't trust Jimmy G to throw the ball. And even like in the NFC title game, he threw the ball 8 times. Right. Like, if you can run the ball with, that Sable or Remax on the offensive line, that's not a bad way to win. But why are you shooting up the board to 3 to get Mac Jones? I mean, if he's that guy, could you get him at, 13 or wherever you were? Unless you're afraid that somebody else is going to discover him over the next few months. I don't know why you couldn't get him later or get one of those other quarterbacks and do something similar. So I agree with your point. Like, I think Kyle Shanahan does trust himself and says, I have a really good offensive system. We can run the ball. We can play defense. And I'll make it to where, this guy, the quarterback, can make plays and we'll be okay. But also, he's been in 2 Super Bowls. And I wouldn't classify Matt Ryan as a bus driver. Like, I think that's a disrespect to his career.
Yeah.
But he had a 28-3 lead and he couldn't close out that game. And then Jimmy G in San Francisco, like, similar situation. They dominated that game at times and it seemed like they had the Chiefs on their heels, but late they just couldn't make plays. So why, leverage all these assets to go get another dude who you just think is going to make good decisions?
He's not a playmaker. Like, that's just not what Mac Jones is. And for them, I don't understand it too, because it looks like they're trying to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think they can get out of the contract next year, I believe. I think that's when they can get out of it. I'm not 100% sure. But, like, who is – I'm a Washington fan. I could see Washington being in the market for Jimmy Garoppolo, but, what are you going to give up for him, right? Like, what are you – the 49ers have no leverage on that. That's an asset they have to get rid of. It's an expensive asset that's taking up cap. that really there's not a ton. I mean, people take a flyer on him, but what are you going to get? Like a sixth round pick for him right now? I mean, he's not, you know, what is his value at this point in time?
No. Yeah. If everybody knows you got to get rid of him, you're not going to get what you want. Right. And there are teams, I mean, Washington or Chicago, because they just took Andy Dalton. They could use somebody like Jimmy G, but exactly. I mean, why not say, hey, we know you got to get rid of this dude, so we'll give you this. And if not, then we'll just wait a year and maybe try to pick him up in free agency.
Yeah, that's the part that makes sense. And then the other overthinking one, like the Falcons at four, just like take Kyle Pitts. Like stop. If the problem with this is if this draft was March 1st, right? Let's just say March 1st. Like we're not like a bunch of these dumb conversations. I mean, there's a chance March 1st, you could still probably say Zach Wilson goes two, right? But Justin Fields goes three. Kyle Pitts goes four, right? But like now it's like, oh, could Atlanta take a quarterback? It's like, no, do not take the best player in the draft is going to be available for you to take. Like, I mean, I love Trevor Lawrence. Kyle Pitts is a generational player, like generational talent at that position. And we've seen how effective tight ends are. I mean, think about all the championship winning teams. Tight end play is really important for their offenses. I mean, I'm trying to think of who's the last Super Bowl team that didn't have really good tight end play? Like I'm trying to think of one that had, you know, Olsen and then Julius Thomas for Denver, right? And think about Gronk last year and then Gronk in the past, obviously, for New England. You know, it's such a big part of a lot of, you know, a lot of successful offense. George Kittle is why, you know, a big reason why they got that far. And in that offense, you know, like Atlanta's problem is not, you know, it's they need to work on their defense, but you get a chance to give this core in Atlanta one more run. Like the Julio trade stuff. No, keep Julio Jones, add a Kyle Pitts, and you know, I heard some stuff that Arthur Smith actually likes Matt Ryan, and you know, there's been some talk that they may not want to take, you know, he doesn't want to take a quarterback at that point. I'm not sure how management feels, but I'm at the point, you know, where it's Kyle Pitts is the best, like he was the, in my opinion, like the best player, skill position player in college football last year from a on-field perspective and like a further, like, you know, future perspective. So kind of just results plus future outlook. Like he's everything you could want. I mean, I would be so shocked if he is a bad pro. I think injury is the only thing that could derail him.
I'd be shocked too, because you can play him in a lot of different ways. You can put him in the slot. You can put him on the line. And that's the way the tight end position is going. Yeah. I mean, Travis Kelce, Gronk, we go on the list. It's these dynamic guys that can make plays. So I agree with you. Atlanta's got to make that move. I think a lot of this is, you know, here in Dallas or in, you know, in Texas in general, because Cowboys fans saw CeeDee Lamb fall to 17 last year. That's the pipe dream now, is that somehow Kyle Pitts is going to fall to 10 or he's going to fall to 8 and Jerry Jones is going to take the button from Stephen Jones and say, we got to go up and get him. There's no way that happens. The Falcons, yes, they have bigger needs, but sometimes you just have to take the best player. And three quarterbacks are going to be taken in front of you. Take Kyle Pitts, load that offense up. If you get a great offer for Julio Jones, maybe unload him. But why, like, why make that move now? Like, get Kyle Pitts and just say, we're going to go nuclear on offense, and we'll hope that our defense can make some stops here and there. Because on paper, they're going to be really, really, really tough to stop. And, yeah, Pitts, by – It's almost a consensus from the people that just grind film or just casual observers. It's obvious that he's the best player in this draft, aside from maybe Trevor Lawrence. So go get him and just enjoy that fell to you there at number four.
Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. You guys know the deal. BetOnline has you covered right now. I know there's no college football, there's no college basketball, but they've got odds on the MLB, NHL, Champions League, UFC, boxing, reality TV, and the NFL draft, big one too. You can bet on that. Plenty of props and things available at BetOnline. Go there right now, make your account. It's free to do that. And also, when you sign up and use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, Locked On, you'll receive a 50% deposit bonus. So if you deposit $100, give you an extra 50 to play with. You deposit 200, give an extra 100 to play with right now at betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON and get your 50% deposit bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
If I'm Todd Bowles, right? And I'm sitting there and I'm like, what am I supposed to do? We have to guard Julio Jones and Kyle Pitts? That's not fair. Because I mean, and we saw it. I remember, you know, that Florida Alabama game. They put Patrick Surtain looked like a small child. He had nothing for Kyle Pitts. And good luck putting a linebacker on him, because I doubt you got a linebacker that's fast enough to cover him. He's just taking it to Georgia. Took it to Bama. I mean, that guy is, and that's what I want to see. And that's always, you know, talk about, hey, SEC, great defenses. Like, that's him matching up with those guys that are going to be top, you know, first round picks. Like, Alabama's team full of first round picks could not stop Kyle Pitts. Same thing going for Georgia, could not stop Kyle Pitts. You're dead right about that. And if Jerry Jones, I know he's got the button and we always talk about it. This is one where I'd be like, do it, Jerry. Just do it. Like, just load up the offense. Go get Kyle Pitts. I'd honestly be all for that.
I'd be fine with it too. I mean, yeah, worry about defense later. Put Dak and Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup and Kyle Pitts all in the field and let them roll and just see what happens.
I mean, here's the thing. In this division, if they got Kyle Pitts, they're the favorite to win the division, in my opinion. As much as I love my WFT, their offense, I don't have any confidence in. The last guy I want to mention in terms of general, well, two more things. Number one, Trey Lance, it reminds me of Mitch Trubisky in the sense of he's got the unknown factor about him. I know he played a good amount, but the fact that he played one game reminds me of how Mitch Trubisky played like 13. And the comparison would be this. Deshaun Watson smoked Alabama's defense twice. One game they lost, one game they won. But he smoked them twice in a way that nobody had. I've never seen anybody do that to a Nick Saban defense. And for some reason, he fell. And I was like, I know this guy can win. I know this guy's going to be a good quarterback. Mitch Trubisky was at the top, played 13 games because people love the unknown. Trey Lance feels like that to me. And Justin Fields feels like the Deshaun Watson in this analogy. It's like people have seen a lot and now they're just nitpicking, and Trey Lance has the physical tools and the upside, and there's a lot of unknown. And, you know, the best competition he's ever played is James Madison. So there's a lot of unknown. We like that. How do you feel about that? You know, especially Trey Lance kind of in this entire draft.
It does feel like one scout kind of discovered him, and then it became the cool thing to be smarter than everybody else to talk about Trey Lance. And I mean, North Dakota State, great program, you know, and I do wonder if, you know, the Carson Wentz factor kind of hurts his stock a little bit, because that has fizzled out after initially it looked like he might have been the best QB in that draft. But I remember as well Deshaun Watson just tearing up Alabama and thinking, why is everyone so infatuated with this quarterback from North Carolina and Mitch Trubisky? And then, of course, Patrick Mahomes, like, we saw him in the Big 12. The wins weren't really there, but you saw what he could do.
Right.
And I do see that with Trey Lance as well. I'm not going to pretend to say that I've watched a ton of North Dakota State football over the past few years, but I would be really wary of – you know, taking a guy who played one game, not his fault. I mean, they didn't play football in the fall, but they had one spotlight game. He didn't look his best. So you're essentially going off a couple pro days and one full season of FCS football. I would not want to risk, you know, my future on taking him with a top 10 pick for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I remember watching, you know, that game, his last playoff game he was in was beginning of 2020, I believe. And I remember watching that game being like, yeah, this guy actually could be an NFL player. It was against JMU. And he was unbelievable running the ball in that game. But, you know, he was 6 for 10 passing, and they really didn't trust that part of his game yet. I mean, they knew they could run the ball on him, but that part of their game, they were, you know, clearly still trying to bring along some. And he's played one football game since then. They played Central Arkansas in a game he didn't look great in. And I get it. Like, I understand their offense. Like, people, I've heard a lot of people talk about, hey, their offense actually is very, you know, NFL, like, sure, fine. He could be good. Like, he's just not there yet for me, where it's like, like you take him over Justin Fields, like what? Yeah. That's where I get so upset. Where it's, I'm like, once again, if this draft is March 1st, Justin Fields is not going behind Trey Lance. It's not. But because we're overthinking all this stuff, this is where we're at. Other thing I want to touch on is the Bengals. Like for the Bengals, this Jamar Chase stuff, I love Jamar Chase. I thought he was the best receiver on that LSU team. I know Terrace Marshall was excellent on that team. I know Thaddeus Moss. Obviously, Justin Jefferson was a tremendous player. Jamar Chase was literally always open. I get that. They have to draft Penei Sewell. If you can draft Penei Sewell, it's 20. He's only 20 years old, mind you, and he's already like a man child out there. You have to, because there is no Joe Burrow unless you draft Penei Sewell. Like he's just gonna be Alex Smith. Like he's gonna get hurt. I found this conversation to be ridiculous. The idea that they would take Jamar Chase over Penei Sewell.
The conversation of like best player available versus need is always a lively debate, but I agree with you. I think one, Penei Sewell, before he opted out, was like the number two prospect in this draft. So You're getting a really good player. And then, yes, you have to protect Joe Burrow. Like it would be fun. I understand the temptation. They have chemistry, Jamar Chase, you get him in there. And that's another weapon for him to use. But if you can't keep him upright, it doesn't matter. And for Cincinnati, it starts with, you know, that interior and then moves out. You can get a good wideout maybe in round two or, you know, later on in day two that can contribute. Jamar Chase is a great player, but yeah, I would take Sewell and I would, you know, be thankful that he fell to me at five because that's a pretty good haul there considering where he was before the season started.
And Joe Burrow got sacked 32 times in 10 games. Like 32 times in 10 games.
Yeah, that's not great.
I mean, I remember the Washington game was where he got hurt, and I was like, Paul, it was like, this feels unsafe. Like if you know, you're like, who is, you almost felt concerned for anybody who was back there, but like this felt really unfair to a number one pick where it's like all these expectations and you're just not going to protect him at all. All right, that will do it. Part two of our conversation is coming up later on today, so check out your podcast feeds for that. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at LOBig12. You can follow me at Josh Neighbors_. Until next time, my friends, please stay safe. Until next time.